There, but for the grace of God, go I. Every federal chief information officer could have said that on Tuesday, as Donna Seymour was grilled by House lawmakers about the cyber breach suffered by the Office of Personnel Management. OPM CIO survived her initial time in the House hot seat. She'll face fire from the Senate next Thursday. But any federal CIO could easily be in that position next week, next month, next year. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, is here to discuss what CIOs and other federal technology managers should be doing to stay out of that hot seat. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
I'm not sure they can stay out of it. If they work long enough, it's going to happen. But how has that OPM data breach, do you think, resonated with the agency CIOs across the government?
Well, first of all, I think you're absolutely right. Staying out of that hot seat is a very difficult thing. And you know, as you hear Tony Scott, I'll talk about Tony Scott, the federal CIO, saying a little bit, there are two kinds of people in this world. And we'll put a pin in that and come back to it in a sec. But I really do think that CIOs, and I've talked to several over the last few days, and many tell me OPM cyber breach really is that stark reminder that, wow, any system, any network is vulnerable. In fact, there is Tony Scott, as I mentioned. He told an industry audience the other day that there are two kinds of people, Tom, those that have been hacked and know it, and those who have been hacked and don't know it. Now, we've heard this, what I'll call new age saying, many times before, but I think it especially rings true over the last few weeks in the wake of the OPM breach. So if you're a federal senior manager, if you're a CIO, what can you take from this OPM experience, and how do you make sure you're not next up on Capitol Hill? Well, I caught up with Richard McKinney. He is the Transportation Department CIO. He says everyone always asks him what keeps him up at night. Well, the answer, of course, cyber.
We are having a very broad conversation within DOT about what are our high-value assets that we wouldn't want to see in the wild, you know, whether it's IP or PII or just anything that is not foiable and stuff that, you know, things that we need to, documents that we need to protect, is that identifying those and then making sure that we have the protection schemes in place to guard those. You know, there has been a broad emphasis on perimeter and, you know, detection and smart authentication and trusted internet connection. All that stuff's extremely important. But I think all of us are beginning to realize that no matter how good we do that, we are going to have intruders. And so the next question becomes, okay, well, if they break into your house, are the jewels in the safe? Are you protecting your assets? And are you making it hard, if not impossible, for them to get to those things?
McKinney says DOT is ensuring those crown jewels are doubly protected to better defend against those intruders. For instance, at DOT, it's a broader team, not just of the CIO or the Chief Information Security Officer, that is defining those high-value data assets. It includes the mission areas, of course, and other CXO communities. McKinney says at the same time, this 30-day cyber sprint that OMB kicked off just recently is all about recognizing the urgency of the moment. He says DOT plans actually to tie up some loose ends as soon as possible based on this effort to protect high-value data assets, but also through this OMB cyber sprint. Now, McKinney spoke at the Brocade Federal Forum on Wednesday, and that's where I had caught up with him. Now, while CIOs say, well, we worry about cybersecurity every day, it's always something on the top of our mind, a massive breach like the one OPM suffered really could provide them with an important reminder and maybe even some spark. Simone Zickman is a former Commerce Department CIO, and he's now the Chief Technology Officer at Attain. He says during his tenure, cyber attacks against other organizations gave him more help in explaining to senior officials why they should care about cyber and for him to try to secure resources to do something about it.
Not just the resources, but also it requires a certain level of buy-in at the large agencies from CIOs of some of the components or sub-agencies. And it also, I think, takes a certain amount of awareness of the implications of that risk by senior career and political leadership for them to understand what that risk really means. I think frequently what you'll find is there's a level of risk that isn't fully appreciated by people outside of the IT community, and so you may have people who could be more influential but don't understand what their exposure is. And if they understood that better, they may be more willing to redirect or commit resources to addressing some of the shortcomings.
Now, Zickman says the OPM hack also could give CIOs more influence to implement cyber capabilities that are long overdue, such as two-factor authentication. You know, he says many times cybersecurity tools are a priority. Nobody was going to argue with that. But when an agency is trying to balance what feels like that never-ending list of priorities, some things do get lost in the shuffle, and a breach like what OPM suffered is an opportunity for every CIO, every technology manager to kind of hold up, you know, Federal News Radio and say, listen, this could be us. Let's do something about this so it's not us.
Now, Jason, you have reported earlier this week about the OMB's 30-day cyber sprint. But what is the federal CIO, Tony Scott, what's he doing to help agencies in the long term and so they don't get hauled up to Capitol Hill?
Well, right, Tom, I think as you mentioned at the beginning of our discussion, I'm not sure anything can stop from getting hauled up to Capitol Hill. But I think over the next 30 days, agencies are really trying to do four things. They're going to patch the most critical vulnerabilities. They're going to accelerate the use of the smart ID cards under Homeland Security Presidential Directive 12 to log onto their network and computers. They're going to tighten policies for privileged users. Those are your systems administrators and the people who have access to basically your entire network. And they're going to deploy indicators provided by DHS of potential threats or other vulnerabilities. Now, while few believe this 30-day sprint will fix all these problems in any way, it is a way, again, to focus on the issue now more than ever. Over the long term, Tony Scott from OMB says they plan to get several initiatives underway, and there are also things that they're going to look for industry to do. First, Scott, who spoke at the Brocade conference as well, says OMB is developing a cyber playbook. Now, this is very similar to a playbook designed by the Digital Services Office around, you know, DevOps and Agile, and that OMB issued a few months ago.
So far, we've thought about digital services teams as primarily being in application development space or in the DevOps sort of space, for those of you that are familiar with what we've done so far. This was the team that worked on healthcare.gov. They're currently working in Veterans Administration. They're doing some work in Department of Defense and other places. But I want you to think about digital services teams a little bit more broadly. We need digital services team people in cyber. We need them in infrastructure. We need them in networking. We need them in every single aspect of IT that you can think of.
Now, Scott says another area he wants to focus on over the long term is around how agencies fund cybersecurity activities. In the fiscal 2016 budget request sent to Congress in February, the White House asked for $14 billion for cybersecurity across the government. Scott says, though, but too often, agencies and other organizations, cybersecurity is a percentage of the overall IT budget. He says, you know, it will go up, it will go down based on that overall fiscal health of the organization.
And I think that's the wrong way to think about security. The right way to think about it is on a risk-based analysis. We've got threats, we've got risks, and just like insurance, that has to be the equation when we're thinking about how much money should we spend on cybersecurity. And what is our appropriate response, not only as a nation, but as an organization. And it can't be a percent of the budget or some other arbitrary number. And I'm starting to see boards of directors and others in responsible positions in governance to think about cybersecurity that way. So overall, our mission for cyber is to, I would use the word dramatically reduce the number of cyber incidents that affect the government information. This is our most important mission today.
Now, because it is the government's most important mission today, as you heard Scott say, he says industry must play a bigger role. And no, Tom, he does not mean more contracts or more services. He says there are a couple of things that can happen to boost every organization's cybersecurity.
One is architectural in nature. Everything that we do should be two-factor enabled, PIV card enabled, from networks to applications to servers to you name it, storage and so on. We need end-to-end security in everything that we do. And anytime there's a seam or a gap and that security chain gets broken, it's a guaranteed problem point from a security perspective. I'm going to urge that for technology that we buy, for handheld and PCs and so on, that we use TPM chip enabled gear. It's just a simple fundamental thing, but would greatly enhance our capabilities. And there are other things like that that if we took action right now in a pretty short period of time would help us be in a much better position.
Now, you heard Scott say a TPM chip. That means Trusted Platform Module. That's actually an international standard for secure crypto processors, which are dedicated microprocessors designed to secure hardware by integrating these cryptographic keys into the devices.
Well said, Jason.
Yes. Well, I can credit Wikipedia for that one on this.
Well, actually, the TPM chip goes back at least 15 years. There's nothing new about TPM chips.
Well, the question, again, goes back to why aren't agencies buying them, or why aren't vendors using them, at least from Tony Scott's perspective, often enough. Now, Tom, does that mean Scott will issue a bunch of new policies? It's hard to say for sure, but he did answer another question at the conference about developing metrics. And that answer I thought was really telling and may give some insights into his plans for issuing policies and such.
You know, OMB has been issuing guidance for years, and a lot of it's been ignored and so on. I would tell you that I think you get what you measure and what you inspect. And we intend to do a lot less issuing guidance that goes nowhere and a lot more, you know, sort of inspection and conversation in terms of the things that we do. And I think that's an important part of how we get better. And then enrich and enhance and make it simpler are all parts of that formula.
So again, Tom, I think that's just a very telling comment about what type of OMB CIO, federal CIO, Tony Scott wants to be. I think this is going to be something to watch, how OMB reacts and moves the cyber ball forward over the next 18 months. And of course, how much more active OMB's eGov cyber unit gets in terms of in the wake of this attack and really starting to apply some pressure to agencies, to CIOs, to fix their most critical holes in their networks.
Well, I think Tony Scott's comment does kind of fit in the character of the way he has been coming in. He said early on, even before he came in, I think just as he was confirmed or just as he was, you know, authorized to come in as CIO, I think he said that government's great at launching things. Now we've got to bring some things back down to landing safely. And I think what he's implying is there's enough cybersecurity policy to choke a mastodon. The question is, if nobody's following it, adding more policy isn't going to make it any better. So maybe this is another example of Tony Scott bringing things down to land safely by measuring how agencies do in getting those systems shored up.
Right. And he has used that analogy of landing the plane several times.
Yeah.
And I just say one thing about Tony Scott. I saw him every day this week, except for today. And I know he's probably tired of seeing me, but he's always been very nice and said hello. But my point is, he does a really nice job of really, his speeches are full of analogies that people get. The one that I tweeted out earlier this week and I thought was just got picked up a lot was about adding, he said, you know, adding cybersecurity to the technologies many agencies are using is like adding airbags to a 1965 Mustang. It just can't be done easily and it can't be done sensibly. And we all have to step back and relook at how to make things safer in a different way. And I thought just that analogy people could really grasp. And he does a really nice job of that type of bringing things into a place where people understand it.
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks so much for that great update.
Thank you, Tom.